Well, as our kids run off this morning to their worship, can we say thank you to Ashley Evelyn, our director of kids ministry? She's standing in the door. Yeah. Great to be together today. If you're a guest with us, great to have you as well. Before we get to our sermon for the day, we want to highlight, if you're a guest, we've been in a series called Arise and Go. The sense that God's word comes to us and we are sent as his people. And before we talk about that, I want to just highlight really quick our fall fellowship hour. We've been talking about this as we've gone into the fall, building community with one another, one Sunday at a time. So we have coffee and donuts starting at 9 a.m. Encourage you to come early, hang out, meet someone new, and we will make our way building community together here at Orangewood. But we are in a series called Arise and Go. We have our Arise and Go challenge cards. Make sure after service, grab a challenge card. I'll share my challenge card at the end of the service with you. But we all grab our card as we're sent out as God's people into the various places this week to be his people. So I encourage you after the service in the lobby, make sure to grab your challenge card for the week. If you are willing and able this morning, would you stand for the reading of scripture? We are at the end of Jonah chapter 1, if you have a Bible or a Bible app. We're going to make our way verse by verse through this great book, and today we'll cover through chapter 2. But before we get to our reading of the day, I'd love for us to just take a moment this morning, allow the parts of us that feel overwhelmed or worried, or you feel like I made it here barely on time, just allow a moment of silence where we are reminded of God's grace and that he meets us as we begin. So just take a quick moment to pause in silence. The psalmist said, "My soul finds rest in God alone." My soul finds rest in God alone. Father, this morning, as we open your holy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you illuminate to our hearts, our minds, and our souls our need and the beauty of Jesus and his grace, that we may follow him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I'm driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. To the roots of the mountains I went down, to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up by life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a seat. Let me ask you a question as we begin this morning. Have you ever felt at some moment like life had swallowed you up? Some moment, something happened in your life where you had determined there's no way getting around this. There's nothing I can do to get through this. There's no way to get out of this one. Something in your life, some situation where you felt like you didn't know what to do. Maybe for some of you, it's a work situation. There's an issue that you're facing in your job or your career, and you just are looking at this thing going, I have no idea what to do. Maybe it's with your work, it's just the sheer pressure you live under. The pressure to perform, the pressure to meet the quota, the pressure to get billable hours. Others of us, it's a relationship issue in our life. We find ourselves in a relational mess, and we just cannot see how is this gonna get any better? I don't know what to do. Some of us, there's a financial mess in the house that the bills are coming in, and then the dollars are coming in, but the dollars never seem to outweigh the bills. The bills just keep winning. Where is the situation in your life you find yourself asking, is there any way out of this? Is there any way through this? I don't know what to do. Maybe you find yourself in that place this morning. You find yourself trapped, stuck, maybe helpless. And at times in our life, it does begin to feel like the walls are closing in. That's what's happening in our story at this time with Jonah. As we saw last week, Jonah has been on the run from God. He has, like us, asked, Lord, is there a word? Do you have a word for me? We want to know what's God's will for my life. God, would you just tell me what to do in this situation? Would you speak a word into my life? We say this prayer, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then God finally speaks. He says, arise and go to Nineveh, your enemy. Try again, Lord. Try again. Your servant is listening. Jonah ran down to Joppa. He boarded a boat to take him what he thought as far away as he possibly could from the presence of the Lord. And we are reminded again this morning, the devil will always provide you a boat to take you wherever you want to go away from the presence of the Lord. But at this point in our story, Jonah has hit rock bottom. He has been swallowed up. The walls of life have turned in on him. He has no idea what to do. But in this moment, God has not abandoned him. in this moment where he begins to feel, I've been swallowed up by death itself, we receive our invitation this morning if we have ears to hear. That in the darkest places, that in the most, what feel like helpless of places, the places where it feels like we've been swallowed up by death, the invitation for us this morning, if we have ears to hear, is that we can actually, in the darkest of moments, be swallowed by grace. That's our sermon this morning. Jonah's story is not just a story of a prophet on the run, it's the story of every human heart in this room. Because if we're honest, we know that we have at times also been on the run from God, that we also have chosen not to listen where he sends us. We all have our Ninevehs. Maybe people that we know very closely that we might see at Thanksgiving or Christmas. It might be someone at our work. It might be someone at our home. There's a reality that we all have our Ninevehs, those places that we are being sent, and we, like Jonah, run. And we choose our own way. See, the reality is for us is the human story. We were created in the beautiful reality of God's creation, and we chose our own way. We chose our own way. We thought life's going to be better if we call the shots. And the simple reality we see from the story of Jonah, the simple reality we see throughout Scripture, the simple reality we see in our own hearts is that if we want to find a life lifted up by grace, we have to acknowledge the reality of our hearts this morning. This is what we see. Running from God always takes us down. This is the pattern we see all throughout Scripture. It's the story we see throughout the book of Jonah. When we run from God, it always takes us down. That's what's happening to Jonah in the story. He heard the voice of the Lord and didn't want to obey, so he ran down to Joppa, boarded at the port city to take this boat. He went down into the ship of the boat to sleep. He went down into the sea, and now we find him, he's gone down into the belly of the fish. Running from God doesn't take you up. It doesn't make you free. As much as the devil wants you to believe that, it will always, always take you down spiritually. Going down in the Scripture was always a sense of moving away from God's presence, moving away from his will. Sinking away, as Jonah tells us, he says, I'm going down, I'm sinking all the way to Sheol, which was the Hebrew word for grave. That's why Jonah's language is so vivid in chapter 2. He says this in verse 6, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. He felt imprisoned by death's dungeon. In the Hebrew imagination, I shared this last week, the idea of the sea was a picture of chaos and evil and powers working against God. To be thrown into the sea was this idea of being swallowed up by death itself. And in this prayer, that's what Jonah's offering in chapter 2. He's offering this prayer. He turns and he recognizes how he got here. This is what he says in verse 3. He says this, for you cast me into the deep. For you, God, have cast me into the deep. Jonah knows this is not an accident. He's looking past and through the sailors that threw him in the water. And he sees that this moment, this this place he finds himself in the belly of this large fish. It's not a whale. It does never says that. Just I'm sorry I ruined the story for you, but it's a large fish. And he's there, and he knows this has been brought into my life as part of God's discipline. That this isn't just bad luck. This is the cost of running from God. We see this all throughout the scripture. We see Adam and Eve, as they have walked away from God, they have been removed from the garden. We see it with King David and Bathsheba. When he's turned to sin with Bathsheba, chaos and evil and sadness entered David's story. We think of the parable Jesus told of the prodigal. The prodigal wanted to leave home. He wanted his inheritance. He wanted his dad dead. He left, and what did he find? He found poverty, starving, feeding pigs. Running from God always takes you down. We believe we're in control. We believe that it's going to be okay. We believe that we're moving towards freedom. But the picture we get from the story of Jonah is when we choose to live life in our own strength, choose to live according to our own wills, we find we are always taken down. Let me get really practical for you. Running from God reminds me of when our kids were really little, and they wanted to play hide and go seek. And they said, "Daddy," maybe at this time it was more like "Dada," you know, it was very young. And they said, "Will you play hide and go seek with us?" And I said, "Absolutely. You go hide, and I'll come try to find you." And so I counted 49, 50. And I walked out into the living room. And there they were with a blanket over top of them. Honestly, shaking because they were laughing because they thought they had fooled me. They were absolutely convinced that I couldn't see them. They were absolutely convinced in that moment that they were in hiding. And I think for many of us, we believe that we can operate the same way with the God of the universe. We think we can live on the run. We think we can live hidden. We think that life would be better if I'm the one calling all the shots. But the simple reality is we are standing in the middle of the living room with a blanket over our head, thinking that we have convinced the God of the universe that he can't see us. Friends, some of us are running right now. We're running from the person we know we're supposed to call and work through reconciling and forgiving. We're running away from the hard conversation in our life with someone we love that we know we need to have. We're maybe letting work consume us this morning. We're facing addictions that we know we need to talk about. We're running from surrender with life with God. We all think it's going to be better if I'm in control. It's going to be better if I call all the shots. I will be free. But in the end, please hear me, it is like having a blanket over your head in the middle of the living room. He sees. He sees us. Friends, running from God always takes us down. Please hear that. That's what's happening with Jonah. That's what's happening in every human heart. But then in this moment, in this prayer, we receive the balm we all need. If we would stop running, if we would return, if we would cry out, Jonah does, he calls out to this God. If we will call out to this God, it says here, grace will meet you on the spot, ready to lift us up. That's our second point. Returning to God always lifts us up. Jonah, his prayer, it turns here. It shifts in verse 7, and this is what he says. He's crying out. He says this, when my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. This is the hinge of the story. Jonah has gone down as far as he possibly can go. He has been swallowed up by death. He is ready in this moment to say, I am done running. I am done owning my own life. And rather than running, he returns. He calls out. He remembers his God. The one who ran is received. The one who went down, all the way down to death itself, is now able to be lifted up and delivered. That's the heart of grace. That's the heart of the gospel story. Returning to God always lifts you up. An ancient thought, and he says this, I remembered you in your holy temple. For us today, we think of the word remember. We think about it more of like, I need to remember all the answers from my test this week. I need to remember to pay the mortgage. But in Hebrew thought, it carried so much more connotation. It was this idea of remembering from, in the Hebrew idea of the heart. The heart was the motivational center of your personhood. So when he says, I remembered you, I'm crying out to you, he's saying from the core of his being, I'm now shifting my perspective. Away from myself, my will, my desires, I'm shifting my perspective now onto you, God, that you would be my vision, that you would be my priority, that you would become my hope. And Jonah here, he uses this temple language. He says in this passage, my prayer came to you into your holy temple. This is great news for us this morning, and I want to make sure I unpack it well. Even from the belly of the fish, Jonah knew this God could hear him. From the darkest place of his life, where the place where he has no idea what to do, where the walls are caving in on him, in the darkest place of his life, he knows this God can see him and can hear him. This is radically different from any other gods in the ancient world. All the other ancient gods were confined to their temples. They were confined to their local places. But Jonah knows this God is the God of all the universe. And wherever I find myself this morning, I know this God can hear me if I call out. Wherever I've run, I know if I return in this moment, this God will meet me. He will hear me. And that's verse 9. It becomes the high point of this prayer. What some scholars say, one of the most important verses in all of the Bible, Jonah names the reality for all of us this morning. He says this, salvation belongs to the Lord. That phrase is like a mini gospel. Jonah realizes it's not his effort. It's not his running, it's not his sacrifices, but I need God to come save me from myself. I need God to come into the places that I've run, the places that I can't get out of. I need this God to come do for me what I cannot do for myself. He cries out. He names his reality, and he returns to his God, knowing with full confidence, salvation belongs to the Lord. This God I know will save me. This God will deliver me. And what happens next? Verse 10, my favorite verse. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. What a reminder of salvation that it is messy. What a reminder that when God redeems, we don't come out perfect, that we are on a journey, that Jonah is like, what just happened? But he's put back on solid ground. Friends, that's the gospel. That in the darkest places we have gone to, whether with our actions or with our thoughts, when we find ourselves in the belly and pit of sin, when we know that we can't climb out, when we know that we can't rescue ourselves, when we know that we can't do enough good things to get out of where we have gotten ourselves in that moment, salvation belongs to the Lord. That if you cry out, you will be lifted up by grace. You will be redeemed. You will be delivered. We're pulled out by a God who refuses to leave us in the dark. Friends, some of us this morning, I know, feel that they've been swallowed up in the dark. Some of us feel like you've been in a place that, frankly, if you're being honest, smells like the belly of a large fish. It's scary. You feel stuck, and you don't know how you will move forward. Some of you, you're in a place, and you have resigned yourself to it, that there's not enough that could possibly happen at this point to get me out of where I am. I am too far gone at this point, too swallowed up, too guilty. Jonah reminds us this morning, it is never too late. If Jonah was able to know that with all the mess that he's created for his own life and the people around him, in those moments, if he knew with full confidence, if I cry out that salvation will come and deliver me, if he can know that it's never too late, how can you and I know that it's never too late? Despite what I've done, what I've said, maybe this morning that your issue is not that you've been too bad. Your issue is you've been too good. You're the orthodox police, and you're very, you can easily name the people in your life who clearly don't have it together like you. How do we know this morning it's never too late for any of us? How did Jonah know? How can you and I know? Because Jesus Christ came. And he gave this image of salvation. And one of the images of salvation he gave, he said this in Matthew 12. He said this, someone greater than Jonah is here. How is Jesus the greater Jonah? How is Jesus the fulfillment of the giant story God has been telling from all of human history? Well, let's look at the contrast. Jonah receives the call to go and he disobeys. Jesus receives the call to go and he perfectly obeys. Jonah was sent down into the depths because of his own sin. Jesus went down into the depths of death itself for ours. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. Jesus spent 3 days in the belly of the grave. Jonah came out alive, thank God, but he came out a mess. He's covered in vomit. He's broken. He's flawed. But Jesus walked out of the tomb in resurrection glory, never to die again. Friends, that's why he's the greater Jonah. Because he went where we could not go to do what we could not do for ourselves. He was thrown into the ultimate storm of sin and judgment so that you and I, despite the places we've run, despite the collateral we've tried to put up of our own earnings, through all of that, he declares to us, you can be brought home. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So this morning, how do you and I receive Jesus into our hearts, in the very center of our persons? Whether you're exploring faith this morning, it's so great to have you. Or you've been walking with Jesus for decades, it's actually the same posture, Jonah says. In the belly, wherever you've run, wherever you feel stuck, in that place, like Jonah, you cry out, I know I can't save myself. You admit, maybe for the first time, I've tried to do this in my own strength. I've tried to form my own way and it has not worked. I found myself always going down. And this morning you let go of trying to run your life because you know at this point, all it has done is brought me to the belly of a large fish. How do you receive Jesus Christ into the center of your being? You admit today you're drowning. It feels like the walls are closing in, and then you confess salvation belongs to the Lord. I know I have a God who will get me out of this mess. I know I have a God who is with me and not against me. I know I have a God who is for me because the greater Jonah has come to show me that all has been taken care of in him. Friends, the gospel isn't just how you get in, it's how you move on. It's the power not only for reconciling the past, but it's the power for the present, and it secures our future. And if it's true, if the greater Jonah has come and Jesus himself, if he went down into death to raise us up to new life, then that means we can go forth now to live in the presence of his good kingdom. How do we do that? I got two ways this morning. First, grace rewrites your story. Grace rewrites your story. Jonah's story had every reason for it to end up with death, swallowed by death. He's lived life in rebellion. He has found himself in a storm, but God rewrote his story. I think of the Apostle Peter. He was, the type A alpha male of the discipleship group. Jesus said, hey, where I'm going, you can't go, and you will desert me. And then Peter, in this moment of trusting in his own strength, trying to call the shot, said, Jesus, I'll never deny you. Wherever you're going, I'm going with you. Ride or die. And then if you know the story, he's approached three times on the night of the crucifixion. It denies Jesus every time. And I believe Peter woke up the next morning, believed this, the end of my story is failure. The end of my story is that God is done. And after his resurrection, Jesus says, hey, Peter, come meet me at this beach. He restores Peter. He gives Peter a new calling and a new name and a new identity, and that he is sent with a new chapter in his life. Friends, some of us feel like the story of our life is already written in ink and nothing can be changed, and we have already decided the last word is failure or divorce or disappointment. But grace has the power to pick up the pen. God is not done with you. And through the power of the gospel, the last word belongs to him. So I want to ask you to think about this question this week. What chapter of my life am I letting shame keep open? What might it look like to let grace rewrite that chapter? Because grace rewrites your story. Second, grace gives you courage to obey today. Today. Jonah cries out. He is vomited out. Could they have picked a better word? But, it's very descriptive. But Jonah knows this isn't time for him to live in guilt and shame and return back to Joppa. He knows he has been redeemed, delivered, and now sent with gospel obedience, recommissioned to Nineveh. Grace always comes with a purpose. That's the story of Corrie Ten Boom. If you know her story, she was living and her family was basically sheltering Jews during the 1940s during Nazi invasion. And they were caught. They were exposed for what they were doing. And their family were sent to a concentration camp where, sadly, Corrie's sister, Betsy, lost her life. After everything had happened with the concentration camps, Corrie was going all throughout Europe telling her story about Jesus and how Jesus had worked in her life through such hard circumstances, how Jesus calls us to forgive others because he has forgiven us. And one night she's sharing about this forgiveness, this amazing gospel, to a group of people in Germany. And after it's over, there is a man who comes forward from the back, and he was the very soldier serving at the very concentration camp and one of the main men who had afflicted her sister to the point of death. And this soldier, he said to her, Fräulein, which means daughter, is this message true? Will you, because of Christ, will you forgive me? And Corey Ten Boom says this, in this moment inside of me, there was nothing in me that I had to offer him forgiveness. And she prayed, this person said, Jesus, will you help me? And she says, as I extended my arm to his, there was a surge of God's love that came through me to him in that moment. That in the reality of what Jesus had done, she was able to walk forward with the courage to obey. Where is God sending you? Into a hard relationship, into your school, into a bold act of generosity. Let's not return to Joppa, but let us go forth in his power to Nineveh. In 2010, there were 33 Chilean miners captured below ground when the mine collapsed. You may have remembered that story. They were in underground for 69 days. They had no idea what to do for them, but they began digging a tunnel into the ground, and they, in this very narrow shaft, they put this kind of capsule called the Phoenix. The Phoenix went down into the ground and brought up every single one of those miners to safety. What's amazing through that story is you never hear about one of those miners who thought they could actually make it out on their own. There's no story of the Chilean miner who climbed his way out. There's no story of the Chilean miner who thought they might make it out. Every single one of them had to be lifted out by rescue from above. Friends, that's the gospel. Not that, look how strong I am, but look how great my Savior is. Look what he's done for me. Look how he's delivered me. So here's our invitation. Today, stop running. Today, start returning. Whether this morning it's the very first time you've returned to God or if it's the thousandth time you returned, we come to God and we say like Jonah, Lord, I need you. I need you to work. I need you to redeem me. I need you to set me free. And what looked like death is actually where rescue begins. We all need a greater Jonah. And the great news for us this morning is that he has come. Put your hope in him. Find your life in him. And may you be swallowed by grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the greater Jonah. You entered the depths so that we could be lifted by grace. Rescue us this morning from our running. Rewrite our stories. And send us with courage into our Ninevehs. May your mercy hold us. And by the power of your gospel, may it transform us. It's in Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.